What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Yeah. Nice to be with you.
Woo.
Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello, my friend.
Did I miss last night? I know there were a lot of doubleheaders last night.
Yeah.
Is there a chance, tell me, Sean, that I missed that there was an Astros doubleheader and that
no,
they actually did clinch in the second doubleheader?
Yeah, they played at midnight last night. They're like, you know what? Tomorrow's a good day to just do nothing. Let's get this game out of the way, and then we'll come back here on Wednesday. That would be great.
I was so excited. I had it all set up. I was going to watch the Bills game on Monday Night Football because they're playing the Jaguars, the Texans' next opponent. I was excited to see how wrong I was about Josh Allen, et cetera, et cetera. I sat down. I turned the game on, and, oh, it's 14-0 already.
Yeah.
13-0, 13-0.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize. I forgot about the whole doubleheader scenario last night.
Do you like that? Do you like the Monday night? Do you like the Monday night doubleheader? Like the way they do the doubleheader on Monday night? It used to be that there was a first game that was early and there was a second game that was late. I remember back in 2013 going to one of the late ones because it involved the Houston Texans. Back in 2013, there was an early game and then the Texans played the then San Diego Chargers. Kids, at one time the Los Angeles Chargers played in San Diego and the Texans played a late Monday night game. Now, for whatever reason, they start one of them at like 6:30. Like I did not know that the Bills and the Jags were starting earlier. I knew there were two games, but I didn't. I guess I had forgotten or I didn't check. My brain was all over the place yesterday. I didn't check, and I turn on ESPN, and yeah, it's already 13-0. It's like, oh, okay. Well, this Buffalo is doing to Jacksonville what it's done to its other two opponents to start the season. So, I like it. I wish they staggered the games so I could pay attention to both games. You know, I wish they'd start the early one, maybe even start it a little earlier. Start it at like 5:30 or something like that for us. And then start the late one at like 8:30 and I'll catch the first half of that one and go to bed. But do you like the old doubleheader?
I don't. I don't like it at all. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think that I struggle to wonder exactly why they're doing it. Can I ask you, who was in the booth with Orlovsky last night? Was that Lewis Riddick?
It was Lewis Riddick, yeah.
I felt the energy was off. That was one of the bigger things, was, all right, if it's Monday Night Football, let me tune in and get a Monday Night Football experience. And I felt that I was robbed of a Monday Night Football experience last night.
Do you like Orlovsky?
What's that?
Do you like Orlovsky?
I like Orlovsky. Yeah. I like Orlovsky. You got to kind of separate, like, okay, hot take Orlovsky that you see on ESPN, where I feel like they try a little too hard sometimes. But I think Orlovsky, the broadcaster, yeah, I admire his enthusiasm. I think he gives you an informed take on things, all of that. But there's some kind of mismatch there with the energy. And then who's doing the play-by-play?
Fowler. Chris Fowler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was Fowler?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I found myself wanting more. I don't know. And I used to like, or maybe it's the mix of the play-by-play and Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky. Because I used to like Lewis Riddick paired up with Dan Orlovsky. It didn't work for me last night.
Yeah, Fowler, it's a little like Herb Street on Amazon. I just equate Fowler with college football, you know?
And well,
same,
yeah, and
same
I
with Herb Street.
There's something. Fowler, he was making some really good points, I thought, honestly. I thought he picked up some good things in the moment and everything. But there is something to the college guys doing a pro game where they just don't have the same level of familiarity with what's going on.
Yeah.
And it bleeds through. I don't think it's even a technical thing or anything. I think it's just the way it ends up sounding. Remember when you're did you ever have a moment where the principal would come in and teach a class like in an emergency situation?
Yeah,
they couldn't find a substitute.
Yeah,
I was always kind of like, This is not his thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is not his thing. This is
a guy that's leading
a little bit.
This guy that's leading our school, huh? What's
right,
going
well,
on?
Well, I know there's Mr. Almondsberger. I liked him. I thought he was a bright enough guy. I think he was good in what he did. But just when it came to being a substitute teacher, it wasn't his deal.
Yeah.
That's how I felt with Chris Fowler in NFL football.
I'll tell you my big takeaway from this Jags-Bills game last night. And for those who, if you're just waking up, the Bills, I mean, just destroyed the Jaguars. 47-10, the final score. They scored touchdowns on their first five possessions. Five possessions in the first half, they scored touchdowns on all of them. The Bills did. Trevor Lawrence was awful. Trevor Lawrence threw one of the worst interceptions, maybe the worst interception of the season. Just completely sailed the ball to a wide-open Brian Thomas. Damar Hamlin gets an interception. So that, you know, that it was a bad game. The other game, Washington beat Cincinnati 38-33 in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 0-3 now. So to me, there's takeaways from both of these games relative to the Texans. Cincinnati being 0-3 makes me thankful that the Texans are 2-1. Like, you can play bad football and be 0-3 like the Bengals are, or you can play bad to mediocre football and be 2-1 like the Texans are. The Texans have not played great football, so they've survived these first three games, unlike a lot of teams. Look at the list of 1-2 teams, and it's got a bunch of teams that think they're Super Bowl teams this year. But the first game, the Jags-Bills game, man, I'm watching this game and I'm going, the Texans better win this Jags game on Sunday, because this Bills team is a machine. Like, imagine if the Texans lose this game on Sunday to the Jags, which would be just a disaster, losing to an 0-3. By the way, the last time Trevor Lawrence beat an NFL team as a starting quarterback, week 12 last season in Houston. So the Texans are the last team that Trevor Lawrence has beat. They beat the Texans to move to 8-3 on the season. They went 1-5 the rest of the year, and the only win was C.J. Beathard starting that game. Trevor Lawrence has not won a game since that game against the Texans last year. You lose to an 0-3 Jags team this Sunday, and if they play like they did the Texans, like they did on Sunday against the Vikes, they will lose to a bad Jags team if they play that way.
They will. They're capable of losing.
They're capable of losing.
It's possible, yeah.
If they lose that game, now you got the Bills coming to town, and they look unstoppable right now. And then after that, you got two road games. You got at New England and at Green Bay. And don't tell me right now that the way the Texans played this past Sunday, that they're not capable of losing either of those games as well on the road.
They were very much, I mean, after that Bengals game, it's hard not to think, wow, have they made any progress at all really since their playoff loss to the Ravens? Because that's what it looked like. It looked like they were completely out of their weight class. And the biggest thing, honestly, I'll go back to the Jeff Van Gundy quote. Do not ignore in victory what you would address in defeat. I think there was a lot of that going on in the first 2 weeks, because you commit 12 penalties in the second week versus the Bears and manage to win. And maybe you delude yourself as a team a little too much into thinking like, so look at how good we are. We play sloppy and we're fine. We still win. We still have a victory. I think this is the week where hopefully as a team they realize, man, we got to dial it up. And I hope we know the offensive line doesn't watch football on television, or at least Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil, because right. It took them completely by surprise that the illegal formation by the offensive lineman is a point of emphasis this year, where most of the football viewing public learned that on Thursday Night Football, the first game of the season.
Correct.
So it was a surprise to them. Let's leave the offensive line out of this right now, because we can talk multiple times today about how Laremy Tunsil absolutely needs to be benched for at least a.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The game, but the team overall just can't shoot itself in the foot like this and have any chance at all of beating the Bills.
Right.
I mean, they will get embarrassed to an extreme degree if they go out and play the same way they did on Sunday versus the Buffalo Bills. So maybe in the grand scheme of things, it worked out for the best that the Texans had some reality injected into their veins this past week. Get right versus the Jaguars. play your asses off, have a complete game, beat a team emphatically, and then you can have a shot at the Bills. But yeah, this team has to make an improvement starting today or tomorrow at practice over what they did over the first 3 weeks if they want to have any chance at all versus the Bills.
Yeah, this Jags game is massively important on Sunday just because of what we watched last night. You've got it. That's a bad Jags team right now. That's a team. The Texans could get Doug Peterson fired this weekend if they play their A game. If they, you know, if Jacksonville has looked horrible the first 3 weeks, Jacksonville lost, coughed up a huge lead in week one to Miami. They lost to Deshaun Watson in week two, and they got embarrassed on national TV last night. This is, you know, across the NFL, like I said, there's all these 0-3 and 1-2 teams. That's a bad 0-3 team right now. Like, that is a bad football. You have to destroy them on Sunday.
You must. Yes. You must. You have no choice.
Yes.
But to resoundingly defeat them and get your run game going somehow, some way.
Yes.
All of this talk about, you know, cover two defense and how much there is around the league, et cetera, et cetera. This is not a hyper analytical, just any kind of a discussion about, you know, new age play calling versus old. This is a story as old as time. When defenses show you cover two, run the football. That's what the analytics nerds would tell you. The ones that hate runs, just run the football. And yet the Texans are incapable of running the football right now. And that goes back to, man, I sent you a clip last night of Laremy Tunsil on one run play where Cam Akers was tackled by a guy that...
Infuriating.
Laremy Tunsil simply just decided to stop blocking on
it's
a run
infuriating.
Play.
It's offensive.
He just stopped blocking. And then the biggest thing with Laremy Tunsil, you can tell by his body language, zero embarrassment or shame over the fact that his guy just got a tackle because he simply stopped blocking. You know, I don't care how good he is as a pass protector. At this point, put Blake Fisher in there. Sink or swim Blake Fisher. Give him a chance to impress or something. Because Laremy Tunsil is it's cancerous. Yeah. It's cancerous when that's a guy who's a captain, the guy that other guys on the team are supposed to be looking up to. He has zero accountability for – I mean, going back, this is years now. This is ever since he showed up. He doesn't care about the fact that he has these false starts. He tries to make this argument after this last game that it's about how he wiggles his ankle and sometimes officials allow it. I'm watching the game. I'm like, dude, this had nothing to do. This was not one of those.
You're just leaving early.
Yeah, it wasn't one of these moments where he left like a millisecond before the snap and maybe there's some judgment involved. Like, no, nobody else was moving. You took a kick step. You know, it's just. This was not a photo finish type of false start call, either of them. And then he's just lazy. I mean, he's just lazy.
Yeah.
And he has no appetite for run blocking. It's just astounding. Yeah. Obviously Blake Fisher was drafted because they want to replace
long term. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe short term. Who knows?
He can't be the guy moving forward. Yeah. I think I hate to put it in the Jose Abreu category because Jose Abreu at least tried.
Yeah.
You know, I think Jose Abreu felt, I don't know if embarrassment or humiliation is the right term, but you could tell that it weighed heavily on Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
That he was not the player that people
expected
him to be.
Went to the rookie complex to try to get it fixed.
Laremy Tunsil just checks his bank account and realizes, like, oh, no, I'm everything I need to be.
Yeah.
My bank account is inflated. That's good. Yep, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yep. Well, we'll get to D'Amico talking about Laremy and talking about the offensive line in the next segment. Also, an update on Yordan Alvarez, and I am not feeling good about this. I will tell you that right now. We'll get to that coming up next.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.